Let's pick up in midstream with the second part of this provoking message. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.
All right, here we go. Let's keep moving on. Hear the truth, believe and apply truth equals faith. That's pretty simple here. Faith is allotted by the Holy Spirit. Faith in itself, you know, remember how that verse saying is, it seemed to be conditional on faith, that by faith you are shielded by God's power? Well, even faith comes from the Holy Spirit. And we know that from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 and verses 6, which says, "For by the grace given you, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves in sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Even your faith is bestowed to you from the Holy Spirit. From empowering faith for salvation to faith in sanctification or growing in Christ. We are totally powerless without the intervention of God. You are totally powerless to make yourself born, and you are totally powerless to make yourself born again. It is totally a work of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit that regenerates and seals the believer. Concerning faith, let's keep going here. Now, again, if you have any problems with these, be a good Berean and study the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. Find out why there are other camps that say otherwise. Why are there other churches that believe in free will? Why are there other churches that believe you can lose your salvation or in baptismal regeneration? Or with Catholics, they believe in something called a synergy. That it isn't just the completed work of Christ, but now you have to run alongside, and only if you work together with God will you be saved. Well, that's terrifying. My hope is completely in Christ because I blow it by the second. And there isn't a time I can't look in the Scripture and see a sin of omission or commission, and I'm guilty. And then again, there's always those pesky Ten Commandments that just remind me I'm a big failure. My faith is in Christ alone. And it's His righteousness imputed unto me, credited to my account. It's the only reason I'm getting to heaven. The only reason I'm getting to heaven. But because I'm getting to heaven on Christ's account, I'm motivated to love Jesus. How can I not be? How can you not be? Faith can increase as you increase your knowledge and application of theology. I'm using the big word instead of Bible study because I want you to not be afraid of the big words that end with shun. I want you to learn those words. They're awesome, shun. Study your Bible a lot and do what you're told from the Bible. Romans chapter 14, verse 2. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man's faith, who is weak, eats only vegetables. This is not picking on the vegans or the vegetarians. This has nothing to do with that. Back in the day, when you went to Martin's to get your beef and hamburg, it was sacrificed to some god before you got it. It was sacrificed to idols. That would be pretty controversial nowadays, wouldn't it? Well, it was then too. But a Christian would still go by, "Oh, sacrifice to Baal? I'll get it. Good deal too." And Paul's saying, Christians, you don't have to sweat that stuff because idols are nothing. God still made the cow. God still provided you the meat. Give thanks to God before you eat it. But if your brother says, whoa, wait a minute. That was sacrificed to an idol. That's nasty stuff. Then he should not eat that meat because he condemns himself if he does. In verse 23, because he is not eating from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Well, we're just a sinner everywhere we turn, aren't we? We can't get a break. Yeah, we can't get a break. Our break's in Christ. That's why His yoke is easy and His burden is light. All right. Can you dig it? So, faith comes from growing in Christ. The more you know your Bible, the more assurance you have, the more you know your values in God, and the more confidence and courage you get to be able to dive into the world. And once again, practice these moves. My opinion doesn't matter. I can't judge you. Your opinion doesn't matter. You don't make the moral code either, buddy. What God says is all that matters. So let's go to the Scriptures. Let's go to the scriptures. You want to make the argument whether I interpret it fairly? Okay, that'd be awesome. You dig in the Bible too and find out if I interpret that. But my opinion doesn't matter, neither does yours. Keep that in your heads, because that will open up any conversation of sin that they lift up. You can get them with that. Okay, the goal of your faith is salvation. Concerning the salvation, back to theology. So now we're in 1 Peter again. He assures him of salvation, and then he says, you're going to face trials, and these trials are going to refine you and make you grow up in Christ. And then he goes back into theology again. Peter dives back into theology in verse 8. Though you have not seen him, Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving, that's present tense, the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's present tense. We are saved now. Our salvation began when we said, yes, God, that's awesome. That's salvation. That's why it's inexpressible and glorious joy. And that's what makes it fantastic. And in 1 Peter 1:10, concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care. That's what a Bible study looks like. Searching intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances of which the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Anointed One, the Spirit of the Messiah was in them, was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah, the Christ, and the glories that would follow. Really? So now we go back into the prophets, and here's this big Old Testament. Big, bulky testament, took 1,000 years to write with several different, many different authors over hundreds and over 1,000 years from different time frames and different socioeconomic statuses of life, different vocations, all right? And they're writing this stuff, and they searched intently, these prophets, with the greatest care, trying to find out when the Spirit of Christ in them would be revealed. Now check this out. Then we've got these cool chapters in the Bible like Isaiah 53. Just listen. I don't have it up here. Just listen to Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmaries and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And through the Lord makes his life a guilt offering. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the sufferings of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercessions for the transgressors. That's 1,000 years before Jesus showed up. All right? And here's Isaiah writing this to kings and to Israel as they were suffering so many different types of trials. And all of a sudden he comes out with that. You see how the prophets spoke of the grace that was to come, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ. That's the sufferings of Christ. Now, what about the glories that would follow? Here's a cool one. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel writes, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." That's a vision. Wow! There is a president coming who will never die. A king coming who will never perish. I use president because we're Americans and we're used to that term. A king, a leader. Now, when Jesus called himself the Son of Man throughout the Gospels, that was more of a claim to deity than when he called himself the Son of God. Whenever you see Jesus saying the Son of Man, he's referring to Daniel. He's referring to something super-de-duper-de awesome. And he even says it in Matthew 26, 64. Listen to this. Wait a minute. There's the Daniel verses. Sorry, I got ahead of my PowerPoint. And here's the verses of Matthew 26, 64. Jesus says, "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied, "but I say to all of you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." That is a serious claim to deity. If Jesus never said he was the Son of, he was God, he certainly did in Matthew 26, 64. Because you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, God, coming down out of the clouds of heaven. There is a day when a generation of human beings is going to look up and they are going to be freaked out of their minds, because the skies are going to burst forth and Jesus Christ and the saints and the angels are going to burst forth in unbelievable display. This is the real deal. It's going to be, I don't know, because I know what my neighbors or friends might be saying. We're being attacked by aliens. That's what they're going to say, because all the movies trained them. Their theologies from movies and TV and the History Channel. And so they're going to read that and they're going to say, "We got to fight." And that's exactly what happens in Revelations. They shake their fists at God, is what happens in Revelations. Anyway, but there's Jesus claiming that he is the eternal King, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, right there in Matthew 26, 64. So, now we jump back to 1 Peter again in verse 12. "It was revealed to them," prophets, I added that, prophets, because of the previous verse, verse 11, "that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven." The good gospel means good news. So it's not like a holy special word unto itself. Just preach the gospel. No, tell people the good news that Jesus loves them. They don't have to go to hell. It's a good news. Even angels long to look at these things. Can you imagine being an angel that never dies? You weren't part of the one-third of the angels that followed the devil. And you get to watch God unfold this plan in human history. And just, come on now, that's better than the best TV show you ever look forward to watching. You know, and you might wave, oh, I can't wait for the next episode. It's way more than that with the angels. And some of them even got to partake in that. When Daniel's having his visions, Gabriel comes down and talks to him. You know, some cool stuff going on. And the angels are up there going, this is crazy. This is great. Therefore, do. Theology, obey. Theology, obey. Here's what God says. Here's what we do. That's the pattern. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. All right, now that's getting ready for the big game. In sports, you know, it's the basketball games and the kids are coming out basketball and they got that sports music playing. Ba, ba, na, da, na, da, right? And everyone's getting in the zone, right? You get in the mood. You're going to play. You're going to win. You get the mindset. That's what we're talking about. Prepare your minds for action. So if you get up in the morning going, oh, man, it's another day. Where's my coffee? Don't talk to me for 3 hours. Right? That is not preparing your mind for action. That's the opposite. Prepare your mind for action. Be self-controlled. At work, when I'm dealing with the friends that I sit around the lunch table with, I have to be very self-controlled for the things that I don't say and the things that I do say. Trust me, I am thinking 5 steps ahead. If I say this, how are they going to turn that into a dirty joke? I have to really think ahead to not give them cannon fodder. I mean, really, it's that ridiculous. But anyway, set your hope fully on the grace given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's the goal. That's the gumption. Why do anything? Because of Jesus. Why get up today? Because of Jesus. Why do your homework today? Because of Jesus. Why go to work today? Because of Jesus. Why put on your socks? Because of Jesus. You name it, it's because of Jesus. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, obedience, obey. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, which is the opposite of faith. Ignorance. Ignorance. There's a lot of people who claim they know God, believe in God, and then don't do anything that is from the Bible. They're full of baloney. They're not full of Bible. All right? But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Gonna be holy today. Come on, shake it off. Be holy today. That's the name of the game. Get holy, be holy. And as it is written, be holy because I am holy. Where is this? Okay. I got this little coin. I got 6 little coins. There was a lady in the mall. She had a little kiosk set up. And the first time I met her, within 3 seconds, she said, I follow Jesus. I love Jesus. And she was weird. All right, she was weird because she loved Jesus publicly. And that just made, and the rest of the office had no idea what to think of her. She freaked them out because she would come in, she'd give them gifts, and they're just good all whacked out. Now, these are people who open, they'll talk about any sin, they'll talk about their body parts, they'll talk about anything. She would come in and just love them, and they're weird, they were whacked out by her. Why am I saying this? Because holy means set apart. Are you weird at your jobs? Are you different at your jobs, at your school? The people look at you like, you got religion, buddy. You got religion. Right? Are they doing that to you? Now, she gave me the 6 of these coins because she spoke at a ladies' group. And, I mean, she took pieces of paper with some Jesus things and just glued them on to a gold coin to use as an illustration. She came in the morning, she says, Jeff, let me shake you. And she calls me my pastor at the mall, right? She comes up, and she does this right in the office with all the people there. I love it. You know, and then the guys, they call me man of the cloth. That's a nickname. It's like, the cloth? What am I supposed to be wearing? A cloth? All right, anyway. So anyway, she comes in, she goes, let me shake your hand, right? And then she gives me 6 of these coins when she, you know. And she says, use them as you will to encourage others. And I'm thinking, I'll use this in a sermon some point. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to use Mary Lou as a sermon. Mary Lou, that's who. All right. Some of you got that, right, Dr. Seuss? So now we dive back into theology, back into the truth one last time before we're done. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you are redeemed from the empty way of life. That's key. I want to stop there for just a second. That's what we're dealing with when we look at the generations that led up to us, our generation, and we look in the back of our family history trees, and then the folks around us who are empty. Empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. But by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake. Though through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Isn't that awesome? So we end with this. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. That word purified is also sanctified. That means growing up in Jesus. As you obey the truth, you're being set apart. You're being sanctified. You're becoming less and less of the world. You're becoming more and more like Jesus. Love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living, enduring word of God. Pause back right up there. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. In other words, I'm trying to see if I wrote it up there. I did. Again, you cannot be born again twice, and you cannot be unborn again, because it's imperishable. Imperishable covers both. Okay? You're only born again once, and you can't lose your salvation, and it's because it's imperishable. It's imperishable! Take people of those verses. Oh, I think I might have fallen out of salvation. Well, that's impossible because you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. Through the living and enduring word of God. Let God's word dictate if we're saved or not. Not how we feel. You're going to mess up. God knew that before he chose you. You and I are big screw-ups. That's what the Bible says. He chose the weak things of the world. He chose the things that are not to the things that are. I don't think that word's in the Bible. Anyway, so as it ends in verse 24, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. And in verse 25, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. That's how 1 Peter chapter 1 ends. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that Peter just brings it home for us and gives us assurance of the work of Christ in salvation, despite the fact that before we hated Christ, and now we are sharers in the blessing, and we love Christ even though we haven't even seen Christ in the flesh yet. And so, Father, for these saints that you would let this encourage them. May they not commit the sin of omission by not doing all five of the disciplines you have called us all to. May they be obedient servants who desperately love you. Because that's all that matters. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God. Amen.
There's some food for thought. Please visit thespeakingdeacon.com and get connected to the growing number of social media Christians. Thespeakingdeacon.com. Truth is here.